Word on Today FM.
It's time for the last word on TV and streaming with Joe Shea and Elaine Burke. I want to start locally, and an analysis has been done of the second year of The Late Late Show under the stewardship of Patrick Keelty. And Elaine, what has it told us?
That the figures are down. So I think this analysis has kind of made the assumption that there was an element of curiosity and novelty with Patrick Keelty's first seasons. Certainly those first episodes would have been very well watched. I think a lot of people wanted to see how Patrick Keelty dealt with being in the hot seat after Ryan Tuberty leaving the show. But they have found that it's lost around 47,000 viewers in the second season.
Which is about 10%, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're kind of, the people who spoke on this report have said that, like, there was a benchmark where you wanted to be hitting 500,000 viewers with The Late Late Show, and then that benchmark kind of shifted to 400,000, and now it's off that again. So now it's like, I think, around 390,000. So it's kind of like shifting goalposts in a way. But I do think, like, to be fair, like, it does compare to, like, Ryan Tuberty's final season. But I mean, we've talked about Late Late Show viewing figures on this show before, and I'm pretty certain, if my memory serves me correctly, that they were in decline in the Ryan Tuberty era as well. Like, I haven't heard of a story that was about Late Late Show figures going up in any season. And these figures, I should also say, do not include the Late Late Toy Show, which is kind of its own entity. It's always going to do really well in terms of viewing figures. So people who spoke from RTE have said that they're not concerned, that they think that the show is going well. And you do also have to put in the context and the caveat that Patrick Keelty's show is differently formatted. There's fewer shows and it's shorter. So it's
fewer shows in the season for the year.
Fewer shows in the season.
And it finishes. It's a 90-minute show rather than the 2 hours that you see done before.
And I do think, because it's a magazine type show, I think in terms of total viewership, what you are capturing is people who dip in and out. You know, like, it's kind of a show that if people flick it on and it's someone that they're interested in, they might dwell and stay and watch that interview. And you have less time to capture that if you're doing a shorter show as well.
Okay, so Joe Shea, these are consolidated figures, which I think take in delayed viewing of the RT player as well as watching live at the time. I wonder, what's it going to do when they're planning for his third year starting in September? Will they make changes, do you think? Will any changes actually matter a damn? Is this just the way that the market is going?
You can make changes, but it's a good question. I think what they will do, the ultimate and the number one goal they have, will be to stabilise figures. They can continue to shed figures significantly. Then the choice has to be made. Do we keep going on what we know works, which is, to be fair, fairly safe playing? I remember when Patrick Keelty was announced and we were having a chat right here about what kind of guests should we have, or should he have on, and Kneecap got mentioned. At the time, they were just starting to break through, and I remember talking to somebody in RT about this and saying, like, why aren't we paying more attention to Kneecap and people like that? And the response was, they don't go across with the Late Late audience, especially at the time. Now, these days, of course, they very much get on the show, haven't blown up, but that's the problem that they face. They can make changes and they can take more risks. They can go for kind of younger people breaking through, not the kind of, like, well-established RTE heads that you see again and again on the Late Late Show, the well-established kind of pop culture figures that you see. But if they take a risk and the figures continue to go down, then they're in deep trouble.
Oh, you'd hate to be in a position having to make the decisions, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it's just as, like, I don't think the interview chat show format is dead in any way, shape or form. Like, even in the modern era, you see something like Hot Ones, which is a YouTube web series where people eat spicy hot wings and they have a crazy in-depth interview at the same time. It is an incredible concept. It's really flexible because the whole set is basically just blackout curtains and they can bring themselves to any.
That's low-cost production as well, isn't it?
Low-cost production. But it's great and it's a massive success. They've actually sold the format now, so it's become franchisable as a series. So I think people still like good interviews, and I don't think that format is dead, but it's what can survive now, really.
But Matt, imagine if you went to the producer of any of the recent producers of the Late Late Show as a young kind of person working on the show, said, hey, guess what, instead of just sitting them down, we'll get them to eat hot wings. Can you imagine the response that you'd get for that? They can't. The problem is, they have to be risk averse. Linear TV, legacy TV is very risk averse. So they're really now they're at a crossroads, and they really have to make that decision: stabilize their figures and keep going the way we are, or take risks.
Joel, as a listener says, does anyone under the age of 60 actually watch it? And that actually brings up an interesting point in that. Do they just sort of continue with it to serve the audience they have, which, while it might be in decline, rather than taking a chance of trying to produce something for a younger audience that's not going to be there on a Friday night and risk alienating their existing older audience?
That's the key problem. If they start stuffing the show with, you know, young influencers, TikTok people, all that kind of stuff, and the younger audience doesn't tune in, and the older audience get, who the hell are these guys? We're not watching this anymore. Then that's the doomsday scenario. That's why I think they will continue to play it relatively safe, because it's the sensible way to go.
But I think what can satisfy all audiences is, like Hot Ones isn't good because of the chicken wings. It's good because of the interviews and the authenticity, like getting people in a vulnerable position when they're sweating through their eyeballs. They actually become very honest as well. And I think people are kind of, in this current media environment, we understand the game of it all. We know someone is on the show because they're doing the media circuit and they're going to talk about this book that they've released or this film that they're in or the show that they're in. And that does become a bit contrived and boring. And I do think there is scope there to just make interesting interviews happen. And I think Keelty has been really good as an interviewer when he's had the more challenging ones there. And I think that's where there's a lot of potential for the show. That can capture any kind of audience.
Okay, you, Elaine, have been watching Too Much, which is the new Lena Dunham programme. Tell us about it on Netflix.
Yeah, so this is the first big project TV base that Lena Dunham has done really since Girls. And Girls was a massive breakout success for her. As a writer, and she's writing and directing in this one. And it's actually kind of based on her own life in some ways. So it's about an American who comes to London after a bad breakup and meets a musician and starts this kind of romance with him. And they have some, you know, cultural differences, and there's kind of jokes in that respect there as well. It's got an incredible cast. Megan Stalter is leading the show, and she's like a scene stealer in Hacks. If you've watched that show, she is incredible in it. Really great comedian in her own right. And Will Sharp, who himself is also, as well as an actor, he's a great comedy writer.
He was in The White Lotus as well.
He's in White Lotus, yeah. But he also wrote and starred in Flowers, which was an incredible show a good few years ago. And then there's all these guest stars. You've got Richard E. Grant, you've got Andrew Scott, you've got Naomi Watts showing up. So like, they've incredible cast. They've got this great London setting, this fish out of water element of it, which is really popular with young audiences. They kind of like the culture clash content. Like, you see that's actually really popular in terms of like online content as well. And yeah, it's been getting mixed reviews. I do think if you like Girls and you like Lena Dunham's content, like, there's no surprises here. It is straight up out of the Lena Dunham canon, and it falls into that category really neatly. For me, I'm really enjoying it in terms of, I like the comedy and I really enjoy Megan Stalter, but I'm not a huge fan of romance in general. So the part where it's fallen flat for me is the fact that it is centered on a romance, and they just don't float my boat, really. I'd live it to be more of a straight comedy, or maybe dwell a bit on the family element, because the family casting is Rhea Perlman as the grandmother, Lena Dunham as the sister, and oh my god, I've forgotten her name, Tom Hanks' wife. I hate that I'm calling her that. Rita Wilson as the mother, and that family dynamic is hilarious, and I want to see more of that actually myself.
Okay, Larry David is returning to HBO with an Obama produced sketch series. And Joe, I don't know how you feel, sketch shows, particularly coming out of America, I think rarely work. Do you think Larry David will produce one that'll be of interest?
I Think You Should Go Now was excellent, I thought. That was really good. I Think You Should Leave Now, I think actually was called.
Is that Larry David?
That's Tim Robinson.
Tim Robinson. I thought that was excellent, and it really went to strange, unusual place, and actually became a real sort of cultural touchstone. Now, Barack Obama could be doing a lot of things at the moment. He could be galvanizing the Democratic Party for the upcoming fight to save American democracy. He could be speaking out about what's going on in the United States. But instead, he's
going to be selling out the Three Arena at the end of September. I believe it's a sellout.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But really, is that the best use of his powers at the moment? Anyway, he's making a sketch show with Larry David, and it sounds terrible, to be honest with you, even though we know Larry David is a comedy genius. But this is going to be kind of a sideways look at American history, celebrating the 250th anniversary of the founding United States. It'll be on next year. Is there anything to celebrate at the moment, the way things are going? Can these guys read the room, you know? Is Larry David looking, out in Hollywood in his very beautiful multi-millionaire kind of lifestyle? Is he looking at what's going on around in the country at all? I think this is going to be an awful kind of mess altogether. I think it's going to be very badly received given the current political situation in the United States.
Okay, some interesting comments coming in about the Late Late Show. Brian and Kinsealy, maybe he should be given a job in RT. He says, why doesn't RT look to emulate the old Nighthawks format? Different tables, different guests, different style of interviews. Another listener, and this is a very one, Kev says, RT have so many clips out, you don't actually have to watch the programme. That everything now is sort of reduced to sending out bite-sized social media clips.
Well, that is the new media environment that we're in, and it's not to be sniffed at, because that is still, you know, your content is being viewed, shared, it's being popularised, it's being engaged with, so people are commenting on it. So that is something that you do have to consider if you are a media brand now. It's not all about what's broadcast. And like, what is the goal? Is the goal having people in their living rooms watching your content and talking about it amongst themselves? Or is that also part of your goal, that you're starting conversations online and people are seeing clips and things like that? Because your listener is right. Like, that's how I've actually seen most of the content from The Late Late Show in the last season. I wouldn't have caught it when it was broadcast, but I certainly caught the clips that were going around online.
Okay. What's your pick of the week, Joe?
I've recently been missing Yellowstone a lot, or at least the first four seasons of Yellowstone, and there's something coming up on Netflix on Thursday called Untamed with Eric Bana, who's always brilliant, and he's playing this sort of like, he's playing the sheriff of Yosemite National Park, basically, in America, is the best way I can describe it. So he's a kind of he's a guy on a horse. He's the last cowboy. He's a lawman who's riding across this beautiful landscape. It sounds absolutely
great. Does this appeal to you in some way, Joe? Does this appeal to your spirit?
It does. Yeah, it's exactly what I'd like to be doing, you know, as a licensed gunman roaming the land. But it does sound great, and I've seen little clips of it. It certainly looks great. I love Eric Bana. I've always loved Eric Bana. I think this is going to be a great crime drama set in the most beautiful part of America, and it's like I said, if you miss Yellowstone, it might be for you.
What's your one here, Elaine?
I just think we're at that time of year where there's not a lot that will convince you to stay at home and watch television and not go outside and enjoy the lovely summer we're having. So I'm just going to throw it out there, a bonkers suggestion: Shark, Celebrity Infested Waters, on Virgin Media One on Wednesday at 9. I just think this sounds hilarious. You've got Lenny Henry, Lucy Punch, who's like the breakout star from Motherland, now Amandaland, Helen George, Rachel Riley, Adia Depitan, Dougie Pointer from McFly, and Ross Noble head to the Bahamas to swim with man-eating sharks. The premise is that they're all meant to be very afraid of sharks. Rumour has it from one reviewer that Dougie Pointer from McFly is probably not afraid of anything and just said that to get on the show. Well, Helen George in particular is actually apparently afraid of being in water at all. So her experience, I think, is probably the most dramatic of the show. But you've got celebrities, you've got sharks, which everyone is scared of, and you put them all together, you've got a show.
Joe, the dystopian version of this would be that actually some people would get eaten by sharks.
Someone does get bitten.
But listen, the Late Late Show could do with a Shark Tank. I mean, you know, they could. It's an idea they should knock it around and see how it goes.
And then they could get video clips on it that they could send on social media,
yeah,
even if
exactly.
You weren't watching the full thing.
Win-win. Yeah, there's a great idea for them.
I mean, this is a show I'm probably mostly going to watch through Gogglebox, if I'm being totally honest myself.
Okay.
Fine way to digest your telly.
Right, okay, we better leave it there. Thank you to both of you, Elaine Burke and Joe O'Shea. The Last Word on Today FM.